Hello again, everyone. Let's check weather for East Central Illinois. Champaign, Havana, and vicinity off yesterday's quarter to half. A local 3/4 inch rainfall. A couple of days worth of dry weather expected. Weather turns windy, warmer, and showery for Friday right on through the weekend. Early next week as well. Then maybe a little more extended window of dry time across the area with mild temperatures continuing on as well. Not today, although the sun will be out bright and beautiful. A few scattered clouds around. Northerly breezes and 56 the expected high. 10 shy of normal. Cold tonight. Areas of late night frost down to 35. Tomorrow, some frost early on, then mostly sunny, not so chilly in the afternoon. East wind and a high at 63. Increasing clouds to the 40s tomorrow night, and a few showers, a couple of thunderstorms breaking out for the day on Friday. Windy at 68. Lesser rain chance. Windy, warmer for the day on Saturday. Partly sunny and 78. Back into scattered showers and thunderstorms Sunday. High near 80 degrees. In the 70s, and a couple of more showers on Monday. Still in the 70s with dry time next Tuesday and Wednesday here across East Central Illinois and the Twin Cities. For Steve AJ Broadcasting, I'm meteorologist Greg Solier.
Hey, what's up? It's The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Kyle Tosk on a little bit late because of Cardinals baseball. The Cardinals get a victory, not only today, but in the series against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Some late innings noise from the lineup. I was texting Kyle. It was like going to be the fastest baseball game ever recorded, number one. Number two, I was very frustrated that the Cardinals could not touch. Kind of predictably, Jordan Montgomery, of course, former Cardinal, comes in and was just steamrolling through that lineup. I think only allowed one hit through five innings or so, but five runs for the Birds. Gorman had a big hit. Lars Nootbaar and Helsley shuts the door in the ninth. So Cardinals take 2 out of 3 from the Arizona Diamondbacks, the reigning NL champs there that aren't off to a great start this season. And of course, it is still a very young season. By the way, just to be fair and balanced here, the Cubs won last night against the Astros, although...
Oh, but they've got another injury.
Unfortunate news.
When you turn a Cubs game on and someone doesn't leave the game early with injury, it's a surprise so far this year.
Cody Bellinger to the IL with fractured ribs, right?
That is correct, yep. That definitely doesn't sound good in terms of him playing again until, like, midsummer.
Did he get hit by a pitch? Did he collide with somebody in the outfield?
No, he was going for a fly ball and ran into the brick wall behind the ivy. Which hasn't fully, that's part of the problem. The ivy hasn't fully grown in yet in April. And so he collided hard with the wall. But then after the game, he's like, I'm feeling fine. I should probably play tomorrow. And then he broke his rib. So that's just about how it goes.
Jeez. Well, when you're the only franchise out there that still has a brick for a wall, I guess.
Yeah, no, that you're right. I love how the ivy looks when it's all
awesome.
Fully grown
it's
in
great.
The summer, but there's way too many injuries that happen on the Wrigley Field wall.
Yeah, the odds of it happening, pretty low. Very unfortunate literal break there with Cody Bellinger. We'll see how long it keeps him out. I don't know what the prognosis would be for broken ribs. Would it miss a month? Would it be any more than that? I don't know.
Probably depends on the – I don't know. A fractured rib does not sound like a short-term injury to me at all. So I would not expect him back till like June at the earliest.
651 says, wow, it didn't even look like he hit the wall that hard. That
I know,
sucks.
It didn't really look that bad. And then he stayed in the game for a little while. I think the play happened in like the fourth inning and he stayed in till the sixth or seventh. And then after the game, he said he was fine. It's weird that would break his rib, but what do you know? Another outfielder for the Cubs. All three starting outfielders for the Cubs have missed multiple games, and Suzuki and Bellinger a month plus. Hap luckily didn't hit the IL. But
what was Suzuki's injury again?
Oblique. He just ran to first on a routine groundout, and he's out.
Oh, I mean, man.
What are we doing here, Cubbies?
Cubs
I know
only a half
they're
game
14
out.
And 9. Yeah. I'm not trying to like complain here, but it's when you're missing two of your starting outfielders, your best pitcher, one of your best relievers on an already terrible bullpen, I feel like it's probably not going to stay that way until they get a little healthier.
Yeah, don't let me get on my soapbox. The Cardinals have played two more games than the Cubs, and the Cubs have scored 39 more runs.
So, hey, Mike Tauchman had two homers last night. You're going to need to hit a lot more of those, Mike, with the injuries.
What the heck is going on there? But good to see the Cubs get the win last night. I say that as a Cardinals fan. I don't know if I actually mean it. But for your sake as well, at least. But, yeah, another tough injury blow for them. Well, we're not going to talk a ton of baseball here on the front end. We will spend some time because we are in NFL draft eve, essentially. Tomorrow, we got the NFL draft, the first round. Caleb Williams going to be going number one to the Chicago Bears. What's going to happen at 9 for the Bears?
Let me get a quick pulse check on you.
Oh, boy.
Because I know you have not been the biggest draft Caleb Williams supporter, but it's been a little time now, day before the draft. Mm-hmm. Have you come around? Are you fired up to see the new era of Bears football begin tomorrow, or are you not quite there yet?
Yeah, I'm excited. I have to be number one. I'm not gonna,
I mean, come on, you got the number one overall pick, and you're taking a franchise quarterback. You gotta at least convince yourself to be excited.
Yeah, for sure. And this is one of the more exciting windows of time in terms of hope and what could be with the Bears than a lot of other points here recently. I've watched for 30 years, if I'm counting, you know, back when I was probably too young to remember, but I've stuck it out this long through a lot of painful seasons that even though I was on the Justin Fields side and didn't think he got a fair shake, and I fully understand why they're going in this direction. And we'll see ultimately how it plays out. But Caleb is very, very talented, won the Heisman for a reason, didn't have a great year last year, at least in terms of in comparison to the numbers he put on paper in 2022, and especially in how he performed against some of the better opponents on their schedule last year. But as far as just the throwing talent, being more of a natural passer, the situation that he is going into excites me probably as much as anything, because you have another year of DJ Moore. You have a new offensive coordinator, one that actually isn't going to look like he's trying to sabotage your quarterback. And coming from a situation of helping prop up Geno Smith in Seattle and now being there in Chicago with another weapon in Keenan Allen, who might be overpriced. I kind of had to be reminded yesterday by Aaron Lemming that the Bears are essentially giving him $23 million for next year. That's a lot of money, but he is coming off like a career year. He was spectacular last year and healthy. So I love the idea of a quarterback, especially a young one, going into an offense with that kind of a weapon with DJ Moore. Cole Kmet's solid, and I don't think he's he might be above average at best, I think, as a tight end. But and hopefully they'll continue to get better offensive line play going forward. So I am very excited. I am slowly but surely putting the Justin Fields flag away and understanding that it's time to move on. And I'm not going to just break out the black and gold and say go Steelers and wave a terrible towel in Lon's face.
Well, no wonder Lon's not here today.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to do that. Maybe if Justin was the starter there right off the bat, I would be a little bit more excited and convinced to go in that direction. But
I think Justin's going to start more than 6 games for the Steelers.
He's going to beat out Wilson at some point. Either Wilson's
going to
get hurt or
cooked. Yeah. I, at the very least, he'll probably get a chance next year.
Yeah, I agree. I still think there will be a day that I come on this airwaves and be able to say, I don't know about I told you so, Justin's better than Caleb, you guys are idiots, and all of that. I'm not saying you're an idiot, Kyle. But I think that there's been a little bit of probably, in my opinion, and my opinion is just what it's good for right now, is it's my opinion versus others. I don't fully agree with all of the, I feel like it's so one-sided here recently of who Justin Fields is versus who Caleb Williams is. And I think we're kind of forgetting some of what Justin Fields did as a Bear and some of his potential and some of the situation. I think that got ignored by a lot of people. And in a right spot, I don't know that Pittsburgh is going to be it. We'll see. Like, they don't have a plethora of weapons and have not had a great offense here in a while. But I do think another chance and maybe some added motivation really sparks the best that you can see out of Justin Fields. We'll ultimately see. And I still have some reservations about Caleb Williams, admittedly. I think that while he is talented, I wonder about, you know, the personality is one thing, and I know some people focus a lot on that. Admittedly, like, it's an easy thing to poke fun of, like the crying in his mom's arms after one of the games last year. He is a big personality, and Chicago's a market that, if you don't play well, can really impact that kind of a guy. I would trust more of Justin maybe to be that shut the outside noise out and be just kind of this hard-nosed team leader guy in the locker room. I think Caleb's got a little bit more of I don't want to say diva, because that kind of portrays I'm already speaking negatively on him. I just think he's kind of got more of a big personality, and maybe is he going to be that guy in the locker room? I think he's going to have to earn that, because obviously Justin was highly respected. But also some of the issues with Justin as far as holding onto the ball, as far as some of the mechanics stuff, like that is present with Caleb Williams as well. A lot of his highlight tapes in college, there's a lot of off-script plays. There's a lot of holding on to the football and improvising. I was listening to, on the way over, Ryan Russillo was talking to David Jeremiah and Todd McShay as well, and they were talking about, yeah, well, you know, terrible offensive line at USC. And I was like, oh, well, this sounds familiar. So you can't totally, you know, fault him for some of the sacks that he took and all those things. Obviously, Justin Fields, that was a play with him as well. But, yeah, I mean, before I throw it back to you, I would say excited. No, it's the new era. It's here. It's coming. And I'm embracing it. I haven't been as excited as some other people. I have put the Bears on the back burner, admittedly, partly because of the portal and what my focus has to be for my job, but also I've just my sports free time, so to speak, has been baseball related, and I've kind of got burned out by the Caleb or Justin saga, and obviously didn't go the way that I would have preferred to go.
Well, I think the thing you alluded to there is with Caleb is I don't know if you can find a better situation for a number one overall pick quarterback. For as bad as the situation has been for some of these other Bears quarterbacks, now it's all aligning for Caleb. I know that might be, for someone like you who is such a Fields fan, it might be like, oh, so now we're going to put the pieces around a quarterback.
Yep.
But, I mean, this is going to be a phenomenal chance for Caleb to have immediate success, I think. And you look at, yeah, you have two established weapons in DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. You might get a third if you go with one at nine. Maybe you trade back and go defense. I don't know what they're going to do there. But regardless, I think you have the pieces on offense. The offensive line has improved. Defensively, the Bears really came on towards the end of last year, and they might continue to add. Like a 7-win team that has gotten better clearly in the offseason, it's just such a great – like normally a number one overall pick's going to a 1-15 team is a joke, and they're like – they're probably going to struggle their rookie year because there's nothing. And we
see the Carolina Panthers.
See the Carolina Panthers. See the Bears situations when Fields was a young player. So I think as a Bear, as someone on the outside, I think it's just all aligned perfectly for the Bears to have a great window here the next 5 years, really. Now, I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl Caleb's rookie year next year. No, I'm not trying to say that. But those 5 years that you have Caleb on a rookie contract – I think is going to be a window for the Bears to be a consistent contender in the NFC, especially since you look in the NFC and Caleb could be one of the top QBs there pretty darn quickly. All the elite quarterbacks are in the AFC, as I know all too well.
Yeah.
The Dolphins have to go through Mahomes and Josh Allen and
Joe Burrow,
Lamar.
Yeah, true.
In the NFC, there's not a whole
Joe
lot
Flacco.
There. Yeah,
I'm just kidding. I don't even know where Joe Flacco is going to be next year, but he was obviously with the Browns this past year.
So I think the window is open right now, and if you had held on to Justin Fields, it would kind of be like, all right, next year it has to be really good, or front office probably gone, because you can't make that type of decision and not have it pay off immediately with the things that you've done and the fact that Justin's contract would be coming up here pretty soon. Whereas I think with Caleb, you're opening a brand new 5-year window and longer. Obviously, if Caleb's a guy, the window's hopefully going to extend far longer, mm-hmm. as you've seen with a team like the Chiefs. So I think the Bears are going to be a really, really good team here in the NFC, and one of those NFC top contenders like the 49ers have been here recently for a while, if Caleb is the guy that I think he can be. I think it's an exciting time for Bears fans out there.
No, I think they become one of the more intriguing teams in the league and one that should be competitive next year. I think that's one thing we were talking off the air before the show. One angle of this is there should be some pressure on Caleb Williams in year one. Now, you're going to have to understand that he's a rookie and there will be some ups and downs, and he's going to have to learn some things. But one thing that I think I'll be looking for as a Bears fan, and one that took the opportunity more seriously to trade out of one again and put Justin Fields in the best situation possible, and whether that meant being able to get Marvin Harrison Jr. in addition, like if it was, can you imagine an offense with, and look, I'm not going to go here too far because I know what the reality is. We're not going to play in, well, what would happen, but Harrison Jr., DJ Moore, and then what if you signed a Keenan Allen? Like that would be a ridiculous amount of riches at wide receiver. But, and then also to have some other draft capital to do some other things. So by sticking with Caleb, you still have enough because that was a much improved defense. I love that young secondary with Brisker and Kyler Gordon back there. Obviously, Jalen Johnson as well. And then you go and make a move for a Montez Sweat, who came in and made an immediate impact and looked like for a deal that kind of got clowned on the front end. Like, why would you wait? Or why wouldn't you wait for him to become a free agent? Obviously, you could have got franchise tagged, or you just wouldn't maybe have got him. But you traded for him, you got him locked up, and that's a front that's going in the right direction. I think you could obviously use another pass rusher and be able to get some things done as far as that goes. But it's a good defense. Moore is the best receiver I've seen in a Bears uniform probably since Brandon Marshall. And on a very short list, just in general, of Bears history as far as wide receivers already, and only being here 1 year and going on two. So I do think that one of my arguments for Fields was that it kept you in very much win now mode, and maybe there would be a higher floor and just a potential to build around him and just build around the supporting cast more. Because we've seen, I think it's interesting as far as some of the different ways of building. Like the Lions have built up everything around the quarterback. Obviously, Jared Goff would have to play at a high level, but to go out and do what they've done at the offensive line, the skill positions, the defense has been getting better of late. The Niners, of course, around even missing on a quarterback like Trey Lance and what they've done with Purdy. But then the obvious is if you have a top-tier quarterback, it makes everything easier, like a Mahomes, like a Burrow, like a fill-in-the-blank Allen. And there are only a select number of guys there, but I will want to see Caleb play well enough to put the Bears in a position to be a playoff team, and whatever it takes. Like if Caleb goes in, even if I'm sitting there and the back of my mind, I'm like, I still think Justin could have been the guy. If Caleb beats the Packers in year one, I will automatically be jumping on
build the statue immediately.
Yeah, the biggest fan. Give me Caleb's number one fan T-shirt. Like, I'll be there because that's what I want. I want that more than anything. Like what the Bears have gone through in terms of not having a franchise quarterback, in terms of being too often irrelevant, in terms of just the little brother syndrome to the max with the Packers. If he's the guy or part of the reason that flips, then that's what I've always wanted. So the idea that he could be that is super exciting. And part of the draft and part of this window right now is the part of optimism, the part of upside, the part of thinking about potential. And it's exciting for everybody that's having a draft pick and thinking about what could be. And obviously the upside with Caleb is pretty immense. I'm not even going to deny that, even if I'm not as high on him as maybe some others who already call him generational or Patrick Mahomes-esque. Like, I would push back on that and pump the brakes on that, but obviously he's very, very talented.
Well, I think he was viewed like that coming into this past year, and I think some people have soured on him a little bit just because maybe he didn't have the year. People thought he was going to lead USC to the college football playoff, mm-hmm. and be the Heisman winner, and he didn't necessarily do that. Although at the same time, you look at like USC went, what, 8-4 this year. Their defense is maybe the worst in Power 5. I push back on some people who are like, well, if this guy's so generational, why did he lose to Washington or something? Like,
Notre
he gave
Dame,
up 58 points in that game, and he scored like 49. What do you want him to do? I think obviously the high end that Caleb reaches his 100th percentile outcome, and I think he is maybe one of the best quarterbacks in the sport. I think that that the tools are there for him to be that. Obviously, you don't necessarily project that to happen, but I still think like a middle of the road outcome for him is the Bears franchise quarterback for the next 15 years. And that's something the Bears haven't had in the franchise history, pretty much. So,
correct.
I think the potential there. Obviously, some people are just so soured from a Bears perspective of like any quarterback we get will screw up.
Well,
which I won't
totally argue against that.
I'm not saying that's the case. I'm just saying I've heard that from all the Bears fans I know. But I think you're never going to get the one that changes that unless you keep trying and you take advantage of an opportunity, which Ryan Poles has given the Bears back-to-back number one picks. Last year, he used it to trade down for a big haul. You got DJ Moore. You got future picks this year. I don't think he can pass up the quarterback. And so, obviously, I think for his own sake and for the franchise's own sake, Caleb Williams is the guy that I think could be the finally break that Bears QB mold. And I think there's a pretty good chance that he turns out being the best QB the Bears have had. And like we said, in this NFC picture, it doesn't take a whole lot to be a perennial NFC contender. Do you think year one for Caleb, if the Bears miss the playoffs in year one, is that a disappointment?
I think so, yeah. Now, it's a division that is pretty tough. And just you look at the Lions, obviously, they're in the NFC Championship and have a lot to be excited about with them. The Packers, I mean, Jordan Love, what he did late in the year, especially that playoff game too in Dallas, was a real like eye-opener nationally, I think, for a lot of people who were like maybe weren't as in tune to what he had done. And, of course, their young receiving core, it's, as a Bears fan, kind of nauseating to think about. They might have nailed that one again. And he looks the part. I want to see it over a bigger sample size to say, oh, yeah, he's the next Rodgers. Oh, yeah, he's in line with Favre, that type of thing. I'm not going there, but he does look like a very good quarterback as of right now. I do think his situation is very, very good, but that's part of it. That's what you're supposed to do with a talented quarterback is have a head coach that compliments him, a play caller, head coach, whatever it's going to be. I think that, as I've talked about before, that might be one thing that shows up this year. Like, Eberflus was midway, three-quarters of the way into the season. Like, this dude's definitely getting fired. And that could be one thing that holds the Bears back this upcoming year. And it's like, all right, well, we got the quarterback we want. We've got some of the pieces that we want. But we need to get a head coach in there that is the top football mind in the room that maybe helps on the offensive side, like a Mike McDaniel, like Andy Reid, and so on and so forth. So I don't know. Maybe is that too high? Is that too high to say that the playoffs are the bar? I'm trying to think around the Vikings. That's another thing, like in terms of situations, like if they get JJ McCarthy and trade up for him and he goes in there and he has Aaron Jones and he has Justin Jefferson, he has TJ Hockenson and Jordan Addison, but the defense
doesn't
sticks.
Move me at all. JJ McCarthy, I don't think he's going to do anything in the NFL.
I'm just talking about situationally.
Oh yeah, sure. I wouldn't be worried about the Vikings with McCarthy, personally. Yeah. Maybe I'm totally wrong.
No, and I'm not saying that he's the one that's going to, you know, bust them out. I don't know if he's going to be any better than what Mac Jones was. I don't know that. I'm not the one to ask. I haven't done the deep dive studies. Like, what's funny is if we did the mock draft, and I can't speak for Kyle, but if we would have done the mock draft today and Lon was here, he's on the IL, by the way, with a cough, a rhythmic cough. He would be more informed than me on that topic if we really dove into it, just based on how he's talking about it. But, I don't know. I will set it at playoffs, though, because of the weaponry, because of an actual offensive coordinator that's done some things in Shane Waldron with the Seahawks, and then a defense that took some real strides. And I think they could be a top 10 defense next year for sure.
Yeah, I think context matters a little bit too because, like you said, there's probably two teams on paper right now in the division that would line up better than the Bears in terms of the Lions and Packers, just based on last year's results. Now, maybe that changes with Caleb and the number 9 pick, whoever that is. But, you know, this was a 7-win Bears team last year, and it is still a rookie quarterback. While obviously you're going to have high expectations, having moved on from Fields and coming into this type of situation, you can't expect, if Caleb is bad next year, it's not going to go well in Chicago. But I think, like, if Caleb has a solid rookie year, gets better towards the end of the season, the defense is still pretty good, borderline top 10. Like you said, the Bears go 9-8 and they miss the playoffs in a tiebreaker or something. Like, I think that type of context will matter a little bit. If you come out of next year saying, okay, we've built the foundation now going into year two, a full year of experience with Caleb in this new offensive system, and you still got plenty of cap space, like, I think you'd still feel pretty good about that, right? So I think, as long as you take a step forward from last year and Caleb is the guy that you think he should be as the number one overall pick, I think that would probably satisfy you. Am I okay in saying that?
No, yeah, for sure. If he shows signs of being the guy, I'll be satisfied, period. Because that's the longer-term view of what the future of the franchise looks like. That's the biggest thing next year, even though I want to finally dive in. Like, last year I had considerable expectations for last year's team of at least pushing for a playoff spot, and obviously they were pretty terrible and had a little bit of feistiness to them at the very end, and I cared about that Packers game probably more than a lot of people, especially because it felt like Justin Fields' future was on the line. Maybe he wins that game and we're probably still in this situation anyway, because it's still the number one overall pick and all the things that it at play with the money and the extending the window out and probably even just, let's be honest, like, Ryan Poles' job security.
Yes.
Like, he buys himself more job security by taking in another quarterback and saying, this is my guy. We got to just play this thing out with him and see where it goes. But I'm ready to see a competitive football team and one that can make some real noise. I want to ask you this. And we'll have all the time in the world to break this down, but one thing that comes to mind, and this is where I can admit that I'm fully getting excited by this idea. What if there is a CJ Stroud? And that's something that on the high end side and just kind of a year one spectrum, what Bears fans will hope for, that they have this year's CJ Stroud in terms of the breakout rookie who on paper would be in a better situation than what Stroud was last year. Now, I think when they got a real quarterback, then it's like, oh, you know, Tank Dell, Nico Collins, those guys are good. Dalton Schultz as a tight end is a decent tight end, but you know, they did a fabulous job there. I was gonna say fantabulous, I don't even know, with CJ Stroud, but it said a lot about him probably more than anybody else. But Kyle, what if there is a CJ Stroud in this draft in terms of year one pop and it's not Caleb Williams? How will Bears fans be able to handle that? How will I be able to handle that? That's one thing. I don't know what that would look like.
Like Drake May would have the best chance to do that. He feels like he's very ready to be solid in the NFL right away.
Yeah.
That's just kind of my read on him. Now, I don't know where he's going to end up going, because it sounds like Washington's probably going to take Daniels at two. So is he going to New England? And that situation on offense is awful right now. So I don't know. Although you would have said that about the Texans last year with Stroud. True. You'd have been they're going to win two games. Lon was coming in here saying the Cardinals are getting picks 1 and 2
because
the Texans are going to be so bad.
And they were thought to be the worst team in the league, yeah.
That's just so rare, though, that a guy elevates an entire team as a rookie like Stroud did. And I don't think anybody saw that coming either, because I know there's one Bears perspective of like, well, we traded last year's number one overall pick and here's CJ Stroud. No one was talking.
No.
If the Bears were keeping one last year, it was going to be Bryce Young. So that's such a rare occurrence. If that were to happen, it probably wouldn't go over too well. But I think if there's a guy that comes in right away, wins, goes to the playoffs, and has a really good, like, top 15 borderline top. I don't know. I don't even really know like what Stroud's numbers looked like last year, but I don't know if it would be a far cry to say he was like a top 12 to 15 quarterback.
Oh, yeah. No, I think he was.
I think it would be Caleb Williams if that guy existed, especially with the situation, throwing a Keenan Allen, throwing a DJ Moore, maybe throwing a Rome Odunze, a defense that can help win some close games. Like I think it would be Caleb if anybody. But I know what you're saying. Like if that did happen, yeah, it would probably wouldn't go over well in Chicago.
And maybe it will be a draft because it's said to be part of the argument for taking quarterbacks, and you see a lot of them projected at the top of this draft. Maybe it will be one that's similar to that Burrow, Herbert, Tua draft versus the one the Fields, Mac Jones, Trey Lance, Zach Wilson. In hindsight, that
even
draft
Trevor Lawrence hasn't been good.
Oh, yeah, Trevor Lawrence.
I mean, he was tabled as Caleb Williams levels of generational, and he's been average at best with Jacksonville.
Boy, that'd be disappointing if that's what Caleb Williams turned into. But, yeah, Drake May, I was listening, like I mentioned in the podcast, there was talk, David Jeremiah brought up, the Giants might be a team that could get aggressive and trade up. Now, it doesn't seem like the New England's going to trade out of three. Like, they need a quarterback. They need to spark that off. They need interest in their franchise again where Belichick's gone. And
I'd be fine if they traded out. I'm good
with
that.
Yeah, right? No doubt. But it does seem, Daniels at two, May seemingly at three to New England. Maybe there's a chance that, like, the Giants would overpay for it if Minnesota really wanted to get aggressive and get up there and get one of those top three quarterbacks. That could potentially happen, but his situation otherwise, whoever's going to New England, I would be shocked if they had a ton of success because I don't think Mac Jones is very good, or I thought he got overhyped earlier on a little bit.
He was the best of the bad quarterbacks as a rookie, and so I think everybody thought that he was something he wasn't.
Yeah.
He was just one of those guys that, like, he came into the league ready to be solid, but his ceiling was never going to be higher than that. So when it's like he reached his peak as a rookie, and that's not where you want to be.
Right. No, I think there are good quarterbacks that could have been in New England last year and weren't very good because the weapons weren't there. I mean, Tom Brady's last year in New England, they were a one and out in the playoffs and didn't have a good offense, and he goes to Tampa, you're like, oh, he's cooked probably. And then he goes to Tampa and he throws for like 40 touchdowns and maybe even 50 touchdowns. I think that maybe it was his second year there. But anyways, we're due for a break here. We got a lot more to discuss. I want to, of course, it's another day in Champaign, which means more transfer portal talk, more Illini basketball. We'll catch you up on that. Admittedly, not a ton happening on that front. In terms of new between yesterday and today. But we did have a text yesterday from Maxwell that we wanted to get to on that note as well. If you want to weigh in, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Illini Link text line. We'll be back. Stick with us. This is The Drive.